Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations with Cynthia Hyatt, professional psychotherapist and relationship expert. In private practice for over 20 years, Cynthia specializes in teaching individuals, groups, and organizations about how to be successful in relationships, how to handle the variety of differences each gender brings, and ultimately, how to be your own best version. With a dynamic and enthusiastic approach, Cynthia helps each person understand how temperament and gender affects every relationship and inspires her audiences to become all God created them to be. With this understanding, she shares practical tools, resources, and wisdom to guide each person to a transformational understanding of themselves and others. You can find Cynthia on the web at CynthiaHyatt.com and on social media under Cynthia Hyatt Inc. for current events, updates, and inspiration during your week. And now, here's Cynthia.
Well, welcome to Conversations with Cynthia. This is Cynthia Hyatt, and I'm so glad you joined me today. And I have my two very good friends, Dr. Ann Redolfs and Kristen Clark, who I have done a couple of different radio shows with, and we've kind of interacted quite a bit, and I love working with them. And I know if you've been listening, you heard them individually on their different shows, and now we're going to do all three of us together. So it's kind of a really fun show that I think you're going to really benefit from. And I've got Dr. Ann Redolfs, who is just such a phenomenal expert in trauma. She is has done residency in pediatrics and psychiatry and stopped doing medical practice, a lot of reasons because of just some of the way that the medical practice was working, and she has now become such this amazing, what she calls listener, and she has listened to me before, I can tell you, it's quite moving. She is really studying developmental psychology, which makes a really overall great, great picture, and she has done a book called The Awakening Storm, regarding trauma and healing from trauma as she survived the terrible Hurricane Katrina. And then I have Kristen Clark, who you're all very familiar with, and the books that she has done, Becoming a Woman of Worth. And she's done quite a couple of books, compilations with other authors. She's a featured author in Chicken Soup for the Soul, among many other things. She does the 21-Day Journey Towards Self-Esteem, which I've had several of my clients be participants of and have benefited greatly. So all that to say, hello, Ann. Hello, Kristen. Thank you for being here today.
Hello. Thanks, Cynthia. So glad to be here.
Good. I'm glad you guys are here. So you got that long, big introduction. And, you know, we talked a little bit before the show about really wanting to encourage people about our upcoming webinar, because this is the first one that we have ever done together. And these are, you know, Kristen, you're like the webinar guru. I mean, you are amazing. And so we're really excited to be a part of that. And we have some really cool things that we're going to be doing with it. And so, Kristen, could I just maybe have you tell the listeners a little bit more about the webinar? And it's February 28th.
You bet. Gosh, I'm so excited about it. February 28th, great day to spend time together virtually. And one of the things I love about webinars is that it's an opportunity for a broad community of people to come together in the comfort of their own home or space wherever they are, right? And so all you need is a computer that's connected to the internet. And the link that we'll provide it for you once you sign up and register to attend, and a cup of coffee, you know, maybe a favorite snack, tide you over for a little bit of time, and some paper and pencil to take notes with. It's really a great vehicle for, again, just gathering together and getting to hear some inspiring content and meditate and reflect and pray. It's just, I just can't wait.
Well, what do you think the women are going to mostly get out of this? Like, what are you hoping they get out of it?
You know, gosh, it's so fantastic that we're having this conversation today, because it was just last weekend, actually, that I was watching a replay of an episode of Joyce Meyer Ministries TV show, and I have my TV actually programmed to automatically record her shows. And so I was watching a replay of a show that aired earlier, and it was a great dialogue, actually, with Joyce Meyer and Beth Moore. I consider just two pillars in the Christian faith. And they were talking a lot about self-esteem and how many of us struggle with our own value and our self-worth. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is truly a topic that spans all generations, all groups, you know, truly going battle that we fight. And for me, I'm hoping that women will come into our forum on Saturday, February 28th, and get some practical tools and some godly divine information, God's personal message for them, to help them learn to see themselves as God sees them and embrace, right, embrace their royalty, as I like to say, as a daughter of the king. I'm hoping that they will come together and truly identify with their value and worth in his kingdom.
I think that's very well said, because, you know, it's so amazing how what a battering our self-worth and our self-esteem takes, and the enemy wants to continue to convince us that we can somehow lose our worth and value. And it makes it hard for us to actually experience that worth and value. I mean, Anne, we've talked about that before as well. What do you think?
Well, in my experience, well, with psychology, we come to know there are two of us inside, the child of God and the part of ourselves we've created to be separate from God. And that part naturally has low self-esteem. So the low self-esteem can be a monitor of which self we're choosing to drive us to God and to the child of God within us that cannot but have good self-esteem, knowing ourselves to be his creation.
I think that's a great visual, because it's really helping us to see, who am I living out of? What part of myself am I living out of? Am I choosing to live out of the fallen
right.
part of me, which is going to lie to me relentlessly, or am I going to live out of the redeemed part of me that is truly connected to God and the Holy Spirit and understands all of how God feels about me?
And that's an important point, because if we're living out of our fallen nature and it feels so bad that we turn it into its opposite, that's the greatness in us, that's when we really get tripped up. And it takes a lot of time to get past that grandiosity, that arrogance, to the true low self-esteem that's hiding underneath it.
See, I think you should talk a little bit more about that, because that's kind of a complex concept. That, you know, when people think about humility, they oftentimes think about humiliation. And they don't recognize that many times the humiliation we feel, the shame we feel, is actually a lot of pride and arrogance as well. It's trying to overcompensate.
Yes, and I feel that when we don't serve God, we will feel guilty. We will feel ashamed. And often that's so painful, we hide it in our unconscious mind and even revert to its opposite. We call that a reaction formation in psychology. We say, I'm great. I'm not bad. I'm great. I'm really great. And we see a lot of this around our country, people who are very arrogant and in their belief don't think they need God.
Right, and
they actually go ahead and act
it.
Out. Right, and that takes a lot of chipping away in therapy to get down to the underlying tremendous low self-esteem and shame and guilt underneath it. But again, that can be the driving force to take us to God.
And
so, Kristen,
how do you find
that? Yes. Kristen, go ahead.
I was just going to say, listening to Anne talk, you know, the big word that just is booming in my mind right now is ego. And I don't know if you've ever heard the acronym for ego. For me, ego is easing God out. And when
I
operate
love that.
In ego,
say that one more time. That's awesome.
Ego
the
is
acronym
easing
for
God
ego.
Out. Yep, ego is easing God out. And when I am operating in my ego, then I am exactly participating in self-will and righteousness and this sense of arrogance that Anne is describing so well. And I am moving farther away from God.
And then how do we end up feeling?
Oh, I end up
well,
feeling terrible.
Well, ultimately it increases our low self-esteem.
Exactly. It's like this whole attempt at feeling better about ourselves actually digs this a huge, deep, cavernous hole.
Right.
Amazing. The spiral.
And the danger
downward,
is if we ever
right?
hear ourselves saying, I know, rather than going to God, who indeed knows.
Mm-hmm. Right. So Anne, talk a little bit about what, because you're speaking a lot on self-esteem at this webinar. So give us a couple of minutes about, you know, what you're doing, kind of the impetus, the goal, the direction.
Well, I'm wanting to help people see how we're led away from our worth in God, to find worthiness in our world and what we do here and how much money we have and what possessions we have and where we are in our career and all that sort of thing, rather than it's our relationship with God. It's God himself in our lives which gives us self-esteem. That is our value. That is our worth. It's a whole different focus. So how we get away from our true value and how we return. It's very simple.
And how we stay in that place.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So, Kristen, how about you?
Yeah, actually, you know, it's amazing to me how this is going to interlap, and I just can't wait to see how God's in the middle of it all. I'm super excited. But for me, you know, I stand on this scripture, Psalm 139, 17 and 18, right, which is, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And how many times do we struggle to think of ourselves as precious, the way God thinks of us? And one of the things that I hope to convey and deliver during our time together is a real practical tool for developing an attitude that matches the facts. And because feelings are not facts, and so many times we are emotionally bound by our feelings, and this is where feelings of unworthiness and feelings of low self-esteem play. And I want to give a real practical tool for, you know, the facts, developing an attitude to match the facts, so that we can truly embrace our role again as beloved children of, so that we can walk that out in our lives.
I think that's awesome because, you know, I know both of you guys have, you know, like myself, we all have struggled with these things in our lives, and we're intelligent women, and so, you know, our head kind of can get in the way because we know the concepts, we understand the concepts, and we have all these, you know, we try to get our thinking right, but how do we get it down into our heart so it actually feels like it's true? You know, and I think that's one of the hardest things I have sometimes in practice, is that I have a lot of people that, you know, keep doing the right thinking, but they have a difficulty moving it head to heart. And, you know, I know a lot of what I teach clients and what I work on with myself is that we have to kind of get out of our head sometimes. That's like a really safe place in many ways because we feel like we have some control, some modicum of control, where we don't really have a whole lot of control about what we feel. You know, we can control some of how long we feel something and what we do with our feelings, but the initial feeling occurs. You know, I tell clients all the time, if I could choose my feelings, I'd be happy all the time. So it's like, you know, I remember that I often need to really reorient my thinking. And then I really have to work on that whole heart issue in terms of, am I going to trust God or not? Am I going to work on that relationship? Am I going to let God enter into my heart, enter into my mind as well? But am I going to experience him on a relational level? Because that, for what I've experienced personally, what I've helped clients with, is really where the change comes. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
So how do you find that happening in what you're going to be teaching in terms of the webinar? Because you have some pretty good tools and handouts and programs that you can offer people.
Yeah, you know, I mean, for me personally, a lot of it is balancing, right, my thoughts with my actions. And when I make a decision, when I make a choice to trust people, when I make a decision, and that decision can be small, right? The faith the size of a mustard seed is all it needs to get that ball rolling. Make a decision, and I take action, then for me, the feelings will follow. But when I take action to enter into a relationship with God and develop that real personal connection with him, then I invite him into my life, my sphere, my actions and my thoughts. And it's for me a culmination of seeing his presence in my life day in and day out that allows that grow stronger and stronger, that allows me to trust in him more and more, that gives me permission to take more and more risks and chances in terms of participating in my life and fulfilling the noble purpose that he has called me for. And so, you know, just a small little amount of faith is all I need to get that ball going, but it does require for me a daily intentional practice and participation in that relationship with him. I need to suit up and show him and participate in order for all of this to work. And the good news is that he's going to meet me wherever I am.
I wanted to comment on what you said, Cynthia, about the head getting in the way.
Right.
And that I feel like our heads can so often tell us what we should be feeling rather than what we're genuinely feeling. And, Christian, you said feelings are not facts. Well, also we have to get to the factual feelings, what we genuinely feel. And this is where prayer is essential, because so often when we pray, what am I really feeling? Some dark stuff can come up, anger and resentments, grief and anguish and a lot of guilt. So it's important to get to the real feelings, which are so often hiding in our behaviors, particularly compulsive behaviors that we find ourselves compelled to do even when we don't want to. There's usually some frozen feelings in there. And when we can get to those genuine feelings, then we have some flexibility in how we behave, so we can behave prayerfully.
Well, I think that's imperative in terms of the whole healing process, because our head can have a tendency to really judge our feelings and tell us we shouldn't be feeling that, like you said, and that we're bad if we feel it, or try to talk ourselves out of it before we understand the feeling and say things to ourselves like, well, that doesn't make any sense. That person would never really hurt me, so I shouldn't be feeling resentful or hurt by them, or I'm being sensitive, or I'm being ridiculous, or making something bigger out of it than it is. When we understand that when we're in truly experiencing our relationship with God, he is so accepting of who we are and understands who we are, and he wants us to learn from him, that he doesn't ever condone bad behavior, and he very much talks to us about our heart. He doesn't, you know, I tell clients, it's like, you don't get in trouble for feeling, a feeling of hatred. What you are going to talk to God about is if you nurse that hatred, use thoughts to encourage the hatred, cause the hatred to be bigger, and then act out on the hatred. But the initial feeling is really important information for us, like Anne, you were saying, that it's one of these things where if I don't really get to the truth, I can't be free. And so I have to be willing.
And if we don't allow these feelings
true.
Within ourselves, if we don't allow these feelings within ourselves, we're not able to feel them in others. And it's real important to be able to notice a hateful person in front of us. And if we're not allowing that inside ourselves, we may not notice. So we start getting blocks and we start not being sensitive to what's around us. And then we make big mistakes like leaving our children with hateful people. Mm-hmm. So all of our feelings are important.
Very powerful. Because, you know, it's the same thing, Kristen, you were talking about, that it's like this showing up process. And being a part of giving God that willingness to be in an active state, so that I do action with the information that he's giving me about me. And I risk take, and I know that, you know, some of the actions I do are probably not going to, you know, they're going to miss the mark. But I have to be a person that's moving, that there's some momentum, so that God can guide it and can direct it.
Well, and, you know, my experience is that as long as I'm in a relationship with him and truly enjoying and being active in that relationship, right, which does include that of trust, if I'm in a relationship with him, then I'm moving. And if I'm not moving, he's moving me.
Absolutely.
Great.
Thank God. Thank God. We're so fortunate,
thank God.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, it really, you know, it really is, comes down to a trust issue, doesn't it? You know, and that, you know, I did this blog last week. You guys will laugh at this, and I came up with this saying that is, you know, it may not be profound to you as it was to me, but it was very profound. And I realized, I said to God, you know, I really understand the word trust until I actually have to do it. You know, it's like,
great.
It just becomes all of a sudden elusive. It's like, I know in my head to trust God. I know he's trustworthy. Why wouldn't he be trustworthy? He's done great things in my life. He's stood by me. You know, and yet at that moment, I'm at that precipice, and do I really trust him? Do I really trust him with my hopes and my dreams and my visions? Do I trust him with my relationships? Do I trust him with my performance? Do I trust him with my future? You know, I mean, it's just this very... It's just a tenuous kind of a feeling, at least for me.
And to trust him to grow us as the perfect parent.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that. And I know for me, when I'm not trusting, it's usually because of some underlying fear, right? Fear of inadequacy,
fear of loss,
fear of failure, fear of abandonment, fear of change and the unknown. When I'm not trusting, it's usually some sort of fear. And for me, if I can, you know, like Anne said, if I can pray and dig down deep and really try to understand what that fear is tied to, then it helps me, you know, assess if there's something there I need to look at, some false evidence, right? Fear is false evidence appearing real.
Right.
If there's some false evidence there that I can get a hold of and renegotiate, and even if that's struggling, you know, with my higher power, with God, that really is getting to that truth, that fact again, not relying totally on my emotions, looking at the fact, can move forward in faith.
Well, I think that's a really powerful thing, because I know for myself that whole trust issue, certainly underlying it is fear, obviously. They just go together. And my fear manifests in different ways. And I know for myself that my fear manifests sometimes in control, where I'm not an outwardly controlling person because I'm trying to really get hyper control of me, thinking if I get a really big handle on myself and I do everything perfectly and do it the right way, and then everything's going to somehow work out. And so instead of trusting God with my own humanness and realizing that, you know, the way we see little kids, they don't get into all those control issues. Their parents are really helping to manage their life while they're figuring it out. You know, and so I have to get that perspective with God that he's saying to me, Cynthia, this is, you've only had this part of your life. You've never done life before. This is your first one. So what are you expecting of yourself? It's the only one you've ever had. And so, you know, it's like this learning curve that I need to allow myself. But because I'm an adult in this world, I put so much more pressure on thinking that I should have everything under control and have everything, you know, everything buttoned up and done right. And then the things that are way too big for me, those things I might ask God for help sometimes. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but, you know, it's that process of, you know, putting so much pressure on myself to have everything okay. I mean, it's like, I can tell the listeners, this is a great example. Here I am coming back from the other station that I was doing a radio show on, and listeners, I was telling Anne and Kristen this time issue that I have, and any of you listeners who know me know that I struggle with time, always struggle with time. My mom told me I struggle with time since I was born, right? So I'm getting the time zones mixed up because, Kristen, you and Anne are in a different time zone, you know, and I could find, and so, you know, Kristen, you're calling me, are we running late? And, you know, I'm like, oh, my gosh, what did I do now? And if I weren't really working on these very things that we are teaching, I could have really gotten derailed. But instead, I was like, okay. And I told you guys, listen, I mix up time zones. My ADHD does this to me. I don't know why. I can't seem to get this. And you guys are practicing the very thing we're teaching. You were so gracious and kind. You're like, that's not a big deal. We're going to work on it. We're fine. And here it is. We started exactly on time, and everything worked. So, you know, it's like this great example of how kind God is being to me as he's teaching me again that, Cynthia, you're doing the best you can. I'm taking care of so many things you don't even know I'm taking care of.
Well, what comes to mind, Cynthia, is the different time zones, because I experience God in a completely different time zone where there's an abundance of time, and as opposed to when I'm in my fallen self, I'm lacking in time. And so I know people that have that spiritual gift where whatever they have to do, they fit it in, knowing that God will give them, you know, all the time. It's like the time somehow expands.
Right.
And I just marvel at that when we have abundance in God, it's not just abundance of everything we need. It's time, it's concrete things like that change when we rely on him rather than ourselves.
Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, Anne, I just love what you just said. And you were speaking earlier about our two selves, right? Our self in our human being and our self in God. And I think of the battles that I have with time in this world is usually because I'm operating in my earthly self the battles when I am free in time is usually when I'm operating in myself and God. And gosh, to me, that just really put a big puzzle piece together. So thank you for that.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I have a friend, too, who can get anywhere in the amount of time she has. Like she once had to get to a meeting, and it usually takes 40 minutes to get there. She prayed and got there in 20. You know, miracles happen daily when we're relying on God for all things.
Well, I think that's extremely powerful, and it's good for us to know, because I'm always telling God, the clients, that, you know, God is in charge of time, and he can expand it if he wants, and he can do that very thing, and I experience that frequently. And so I know that part of what I was really wanting to say about my own time issue is the grace that God gives me, that if it's not that I'm not fitting time in, it's the confusion that part of what happens in my head confuses time. And so am I starting at this time or am I starting at that time? So I flipped it around with you guys, and I had people in Florida this morning who are 2 hours different than I am. And so it's this fascinating, you know, way that God is saying, Cynthia, even if you mix up time, I'm in charge of time. Which is exactly what he did, you know? And so even if you mix it all up, you know, and his grace to me is, you know, saying to me, I'm not asking you to be perfect. I know how I made you. I know how you work. And it's my job with God to not judge myself and to relax and to trust.
Yeah. That there's nothing he can't do. Nothing.
That's right. That's right. So we have about 3 minutes left. I mean, these shows go so fast, I can't even believe it. And we're excited about this webinar. As, you know, listeners, obviously you can tell how excited we are about this. We love talking about these concepts and what God has done in our own personal lives and what we know God can do for you in your life. And so we are really wanting to encourage you to sign up for this webinar, to bring your friends, family, whoever, bring your dog, your cup of coffee. You're allowed to come in your pajamas because it is a webinar. So we're so glad that you all are going to come, and we want to encourage you to let your friends know about it. And Kristen, can you give them some pretty like specific direction about the webinar, how to sign up, where to go? Because we're sending out emails, but there are some of the listeners here that may not be on our email list.
Sure, you bet. So I would just invite everyone to come visit, at least come to my website, hissideofthelookingglass.com. It's all one word, hissideofthelookingglass.com, just spelled like it sounds. When you go there, you'll see Becoming a Woman of Worth picture. Click on that picture. It will take you right to the registration page where it explains a little bit more about what you can expect, gives you some more information about our sessions, and then there's a link at the bottom. It's a bright turquoise button. You can't miss it. Click on that, and it will allow you to sign up and register for our event. And I'm just super excited. I can't wait to have everyone join us there. You know, I just can't wait to see what God has planned for us in the process, and it will be truly a divine and inspirational time together. Again, his side of the looking glass doc, Becoming a Woman of Worth. Look for the cute girl and the pink and blue button. You can't miss it.
Awesome. So, Anne, what would you like to say as we get to the end here?
Just that it's an exciting time to really look at ourselves, look where we've been, look where we are, and look what our future is, our life's purpose in God. It's time.
I love that. I love that. Well, listeners, I really want to encourage you, again, to consider certainly this webinar. If you don't feel like you have time for the webinar, you can always go to CynthiaHyatt.com. You can listen to the show. I also had Dr. Anne on a previous show, and I had Kristen on several shows, and we're talking a lot about this. If you don't get to go to the webinar, you can also go to both of their sites. They both have books that I would really encourage you checking out. And Anne, I'm going to ask you quickly to give them your website if they want to order the book, The Awakening Storm.
TheAwakeningStorm.vpweb.com. That's VictorPeterWeb.com.
And then, Kristen, we have you at His Side of the Looking Glass, or they can also just Google Becoming a Woman of Worth, and they will get all of your wonderful products. So thank you, you
yes,
guys. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank
for being
you.
On the
I
show
enjoyed
today.
It.
And we look forward to seeing you on February 28th. God bless you all very much.